But friends, we're just doing a wee after church service here, very, very short, informal as well. You know, a good friend of mine, Pastor Dennis Lyle, a year or two back, gave me a number of these old periodicals. It's the Prairie Overcomer, and they came out of the Prairie Bible Institute in Alberta, Canada. And there's quite a number of them just in the back room, the minister's room of the church, and they're a real blessing. There are some tremendous articles in them, and they cover the ones I have from the mid-70s or the early 70s, 74, right up to maybe 1985 or 86. They came out monthly, and just before our online broadcast tonight, I was looking through a few in the church, and I came across this little one here from September 1980. And it seems that each of these little magazines, they follow a theme every month. And the theme for September 1980 was that of the Holy Spirit almost 40 years ago. And the main article in this one is entitled, Have We Grieved the Heavenly Dove? Dr. T.S. Rendell was the editor of this little magazine. And he bases his address here on Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 30. Have we grieved the heavenly dove? Seven sobering questions for God's people to face. I just would like to share the seven questions that this man of God asks in regards to this text, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And as we think about even that text, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, could it be that even as Christian people living in this nation of ours, that in some way we have grieved the Spirit of God without even knowing it? Sometimes it's not the big, flagrant, flamboyant sins that grieve the Spirit of God as much as what Jerry Bridges called those respectable sins, those sins that we have learned to tolerate. They mightn't be glaring in the face of society, like drunkenness or adultery or idolatry, but things like pride in our hearts and gossip and bitterness, and prayerlessness, and anger, and all of those things can so easily grieve the Spirit of God. Don't forget that Samson wist not that the Lord had departed from him. I'm not going to read all of this little article, but I just want to read out these seven questions that this man of God asks. And some of the comments, not all of them, but some of the comments that he makes just below them. Have we grieved the Holy Spirit by not giving him the recognition he deserves as the Father's gift to the church? Could it be that we have grieved the Holy Spirit by not giving him the recognition that he deserves? And we have undermined the person of the Holy Spirit, maybe even almost ignored him. Dr. Rendell quotes from the Puritan preacher Thomas Goodwin, who lived from 1600 to 1679 and did a tremendous work on the Holy Spirit. And he quotes from his work on the Holy Spirit and quotes these words, "There is a general omission in the saints of God in their not giving the Holy Ghost the glory that is due to his person and for his great work of salvation in us, insomuch that we have in our hearts almost lost this third person." We pray to God the Father. We worship and glorify his name. We're thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ and we exalt him. We seek to do that. We want him in all things to have the preeminence. But could it be that we have neglected the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity? Furthermore, under this question, he says, Dr. Rendell, that is, "It is our conviction that the teaching of our Lord Jesus on the Holy Spirit in John 13 to 16 lays the foundation for the rest of the New Testament teaching relating to the Spirit's present work. This teaching is both foundational and seminal. By isolating Paul's teaching on the Spirit's gifts found in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, from this seedbed of teaching we have created an image of the Spirit's ministry that is no longer Christ-centered or biblically correct, because we have ignored, perhaps, what our Lord Jesus Christ taught us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit." That's the first question. Have we grieved the Holy Spirit by not giving him the recognition he deserves as the Father's gift to the church. Second question is this: have we grieved the Holy Spirit by maintaining an orthodoxy of doctrine that is not accompanied by the power of the Spirit? It's very possible to do that. One of the Lord's laments regarding one of the seven churches that they had a name that they lived, but they were dead. Have we grieved the Spirit of God by maintaining an orthodoxy of doctrine that is not accompanied by the power of the Spirit? Listen to what Dr. Rendell says. Yes, it is sadly possible to have a form of godliness, even a form of orthodoxy, and to deny the power thereof. See 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. We may defend the faith, but manifest no holiness of life or godliness of heart. How pathetic to see a church proudly maintaining the great doctrines of the faith, the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the blood of Calvary, and other fundamentals, while at the same time knowing nothing of the power of the Spirit of God in the transformation of life. Could we be guilty of that? Sound, biblical, orthodox, separated, evangelical, fundamentalists, but not enjoying the power of the Holy Ghost, grieving the Spirit of God in that way. Question number three. Here's one that's challenging to my own heart. Have we grieved the Spirit of God by permitting and promoting division in our midst over secondary issues? Have we grieved the Spirit of God by permitting and promoting division in our midst over secondary issues? Are we fighting major battles over minor issues? We are in danger, Mr. Rendell says, by our attitudes toward and assaults on our fellow Christians, of grieving the Spirit who indwells our mortal bodies. Are we not in danger of quenching His working when we become hostile toward one another over secondary matters? Could it be that we have grieved the Spirit of God by being embittered and hostile against our fellow Christians because of differences of opinion on non-essential, if we can use that phrase, or secondary issues? Question number four. Have we grieved the Holy Spirit by revising moral and ethical standards through the pressure of the world system around us? Let me repeat that one. Have we grieved the Holy Spirit by revising moral and ethical standards through the pressure of the world system around us? Isn't it so easy to allow the world to squeeze us into its mold? Paul says, be not conformed to this world. And that's what the word conform means, to be squeezed into the mold of this world. Mr. Rendell says, we recognize that fundamentalists in the past have drawn up lists of taboos and have used these lists legalistically, condemning mercilessly those who did not cross their T's and dot their I's in precisely the same way. The pendulum seems to have swung, however, entirely to the other extreme. Christian leaders now say that we should not interfere in the personal life of the Christian. We are told that we should not seek to regulate any aspect of the believer's life, lest we introduce a system of bondage. He goes on to say, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of purity. To the Thessalonian believers, Paul wrote, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 and 8. We grieve the Holy Dove when we indulge in any form of impurity. It is clear from the teaching of the New Testament that individual impurity or immorality directly affects the other members of the local church. See, for example, 1 Corinthians 5. That is why we may grieve the heavenly dove if we do not deal with the sins of individual members of the body. Question 5. Have we grieved the Holy Spirit by losing sight of His greatness and the majesty of God as we assemble together as His people? I think that's true. We come to God's house, we sit and we talk, and it's good to have fellowship, it's good to talk. But sometimes whenever it comes to talking to the Lord, we've got very, very little to say. Again, the editor of this periodical says, we recognize that the New Testament does not set down in legalistic fashion rules and regulations for church services. The prevailing attitude in some churches today is informality. Come as you are, do your own thing. These are the encouragements given to people who sometimes would prefer to be in the golf course or beside the sea rather than in church. It has been the glory of the Reformed churches that the pulpit has been central in the church and the preaching of the word at the heart of the worship service. Listen to this. We hear Christians complaining that there are few great preachers of the word today. But have we not contributed to that tragic fact by minimizing preaching, by restricting the time given for the exposition of Scripture, by demanding that sermons be topical in their content? Great preaching is cultivated in churches where the ministry of the word is prized. In that kind of an atmosphere, a preacher blossoms and gives his best. Question 6. Have we grieved the Holy Spirit by failing to pray as God's people for revival? Have we really prayed for revival? Here we are now in a great plight, and many people now are praying, Lord, stop this virus. Lord, heal our land in this sense. Let us get back to normality. But are we really praying for a heaven-sent revival, for the glory of God and for the honor of His name? Again, to quote from the Prayer Overcomer, many Christians lament the Laodicean condition of the church. They are disturbed by the decline of church membership, in brackets, especially in Britain. They grieve over the lukewarmness of so many Christians. But have we, as God's people, grieved the Holy Spirit by failing to pray for revival? Once upon a time, there were prayer meetings exclusively for revival. Little groups of Christians met on a weekly basis to pray down God's blessing upon His people. In the words of the psalmist, they cried out, visit this vine, but this is a thing of the past. To speak of special prayer for revival is sometimes to be branded as a fanatic. To gather together as a remnant of God's people is to create suspicions that such Christians are pretending to be holier than others. God wants to revive His people, and that's clear from the Bible. Promise after promise is given us to pray in faith for revival. We too need a breath of revival. We too must lay hold on God for the moving and manifestation of His power. Revival is possible, but will only come through the united prayers of God's people. And then the last question, number 7. Have we grieved the Holy Spirit by neglecting the missionary expansion of the church throughout all nations? And again I quote, one of the results of a work of revival in the church is an increased vision of a lost world and an increased zeal to spread the gospel throughout the earth. Our last question relates directly to missionary work in the church. Have we grieved the Holy Spirit by neglecting the missionary expansion of the church throughout all nations? In some churches, missions are indeed kept prominently before the minds of God's people. But generally, this is not so. Great areas of the world, including Europe, isn't that interesting? Europe, are without missionaries of the cross. Some churches have not had a missionary candidate go from their ranks for years. Some Bible colleges are losing their original emphasis on the preparation of missionaries. And then to conclude, Dr. Rendell says, if, after exposing our hearts to these searching questions, there is a recognition and a confession on our part that we have indeed grieved the heavenly dove, then let us repent immediately. Let us pray with William Cooper. Return, O holy dove, return. Sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. In our repentance, there is hope of our restoration. Let's pray that the Spirit of God will come back again. Heavenly Father, help us to be honest with God. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. May we not grieve Him and then grieve our Saviour, and then our Father grieve thee. We want the blessing of God in our land and in our nation. Come amongst us, Lord, we pray. Help us to be honest and to do business with God. In Jesus' name, amen.